And welcome to a Tuesday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the great city of Atlanta. My name is Steak. Here's our 2 hours on the Odyssey app, the best audio app out there for anybody that wants to consume sports and entertainment and all these great sports stations around America that Odyssey owns. And we're one of them. We be one of them. We be owned by Odyssey, just like in Chicago and New York and Boston and Philly and San Francisco. They got all these sports stations, and we like to think we're the cream of the crop, top of the heap, as they say. Sandy, how are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Awesome.
I saw you 4 or 5 days ago. That was Thursday's last time I saw you. You were headed to a staycation in Alpharetta. You were headed to concerts. You were headed all kinds of things.
Yeah, husband's birthday. We had a great time up at Avalon, and good food, good meats, good concerts, great weekend. It's just now the week is so weird because of the holiday and the rain. Ooh, makes you want to just stay in bed today.
Yeah. It's one of them binge watch. It'd be one of them binge watching days or something, or find Manuel's Tavern and go belly up, cozy up to the bar. I am fascinated how there are certain restaurants in town, certain watering holes, that you can roll in at about 2:30, and you got a crowd there of regulars. Now, I'm not going to cast aspersions because I've had a cocktail in the daytime in my time, but I would say there are a band of folks that sometimes you go, Monday, 2:15 p.m., that seems a little early to get after it,
so
right?
So it's the day of the week, not the time of the day.
It's kind of a combination.
I gotcha. Yeah, a Thursday at 2 is different from
expression.
A Monday.
I'm like, that's a good alcoholic bar. Like, there's a good group of alcoholics that sit at that bar and do their thing.
That's
and,
funny.
Harder to do when it's a beautiful day out, right? You know, it's like in Vegas. You kind of hope sometimes in Vegas, if you're going to gamble in the daytime, that it's not some, you know, beautiful 85 degree and the club music's going and you walk outside and you go, what am I doing at a poker table for 4 hours, right? You know, you have less guilt. So that's one of those days, less guilt today. What was the absolute highlight of the weekend? The best
Keith
meal
Urban
you had?
Concert, for sure.
Playing
was just
at
phenomenal.
Ameris?
It was, yeah, 2.5 hours, and he is so talented. One of the best guitarists in the world. Forget country music and all, but just great. Packed, sold out.
How does the Keith Urban crowd compare to other crowds?
Give me another crowd
music.
For what?
I don't know. Like, I don't know, Kenny Chesney, which I guess is a stadium tour,
yeah.
Or Luke Combs, or any of your country music. I mean, is he?
There's just, I'm not going to speak for everybody. For me, like, I'm a diehard for everybody you just mentioned, I would go. But Keith Urban likely would be my favorite out of that three. Speaking of, did you see the video from Kenny Chesney at the Sphere, who opened on Friday? You guys, it is something else.
Yeah, I love that movie they showed that he starts his show with, which takes
a bit.
Oh,
my
gosh. I've been in the Sphere 2 or 3 times. I've been to the Sphere, and every time it's more and more amazing. So if you have a chance, you're a country music fan.
And he's bringing out guests every show, so that's the big ticket guest. And if you're a Tennessee Volunteer fan, spoiler alert, halfway through the show, he that song, I Go Back, he takes you literally as the Tennessee Vols run out of the tunnel onto the field, and it's a complete 3D atmosphere of a football field. It's pretty freaking
awesome.
Yeah, so I know a lot of y'all are heading out there for that. That was really cool,
yeah,
too.
The Sphere.
All right, how are you? How was your family? Happy holiday weekend. I know barbecue was in play.
Yeah, we had a wonderful
Braves
weekend.
Game.
My mom's here. We went to the Braves on Sunday, the best start time ever, like 4 o'clock on a Sunday. Was you can get anything done you want all day. I'm trying to think what we did earlier in the day. Probably got some exercise or, you know, workouts, and then had lunch, and then headed over to the ballpark around 4 o'clock. I saw Bo. We had those fancy seats, courtesy of my buddy John Foy.
Nice.
Who tells me every year, pick the game, right? It seemed a little, what would I say? Like, folks were traveling a little bit this weekend. Maybe the Braves aren't totally as sexy as other years. The Padres matchup. I don't know. It was good crowds, but not amazing, right, over the weekend?
I thought it was pretty good. The people were definitely getting there. The people definitely knew they were off work on Monday. We were super busy as far as volume of drinks we were having to
make.
Well,
you had to throw everybody out because nobody was leaving at the end. Is that all? I mean, there was a lot of people post-game.
Yeah, well, we stay open until after the game every game, but Typically, it's not crowded like that unless we're winning.
Yeah, at some point, one of our guys there at the Truist. All right, you guys, we're wrapping it up.
Yeah.
Like, this is not a, like, we're not sitting here. We're not a tavern. This is not the tavern at Phipps.
Wait a minute. Now, I got to think, Bo, you would want every, I mean, you're there. You soon have folks stay, right? No, you're ready to go.
At that point, they've all been there for about 5 hours.
You've made your money.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, you made your money. You want to get home.
Fair enough.
Well, and, you know, we still practice responsible vending as well. Like, you can't just have people sitting there just, especially on a 4 o'clock game. So they're out into the streets at 8 o'clock.
What is the cut you off moment?
Everybody's different, you know. But if people are stumbling and slurring speeches and stuff like that, that's
so
pretty,
it's really objective.
Very, yeah.
Wow.
Well, how else can it be?
Well, you would say it's 5 o'clock where they've told us, or seventh inning or something. So it's completely subjective with them. That's interesting.
Obviously, if you make the ushers outside mad, like you can't stand up and yell expletives like some people do, and you can't take your shirt off outside like some people do and harass players and such, you know, that'll get you.
That'll get you in trouble, and they'll get you no more drinks at the bar. But we had a great time. I was with Sophie, Nola, and Bobby, the four of us. Went to the Braves, so not the outcome that you wanted at all. Listen, it was a really bad sign leading in. I think the Padres had lost 7 in a row.
6 in a row.
Yeah, I think even more than that. It looked, but the Blue Jays had swept them, and then maybe the Cubs had swept, whatever it was. And they were scoring one run a night over like a 6-day period. And I was like, that's just not going to continue. It's just not. And Ronald Acuna on Friday night, absolutely spectacular. First pitch he sees, he goes yard. Then he has the throw from right field late in that game, a huge play at second base where he makes a throw off the wall that was typical Ronald Acuna. And then he hits the home run on Saturday. But okay. And then he hit a smoked a double on Sunday when I was there. But whatever, he lost 2 out of 3. So at the end of the day, the Ronald Acuna return was spectacular, but you didn't win the game on Friday night, which was the key to the whole series. You needed to win on Friday. You win on Saturday, and you lose on Sunday. You needed a win coming out of the gate. But, boy, is there a huge difference having him at the top of the order and getting him 5 at-bats a night. Because every time he's up, you're thinking yard. You're thinking, you know, something's going to happen. He looks absolutely, I thought, great on his feet. Looked healthy, looked happy. He just has a swagger. He's got that swagger.
And he brings it. It's contagious in that whole dugout. If I just feel like it's Memorial Day, and that's when we're all supposed to pencil in. This is kind of now, you know, let's gauge what our team is. You are what you are. You're 25-27. Now, Acuna's back. Strider goes tonight. Phillies are 8.5 in front of you to start this 3-gamer. So it's like you got to get religious right now and get your act together. I do want to ask about that Friday night moment because it sounded as loud as I've ever heard Truist when he, not only the applause for him, but first pitch home run and what that felt like in there. If anybody wants to call in, 404-726-0929, because I, you know, it was a chill bump moment of like, you got.
What did you hear, Bo? Did you hear the whole buzz of him?
Oh, it's super loud, yeah. You don't get the stadium that much louder on any one specific play. Yeah.
I forget which team. Might be Matt Olson, who says very little, and he was like, that's as loud as I've ever heard it. I think it was him.
I mean, it's just so crazy.
That's expected, right? I mean, that's for that to happen in that moment.
Yeah.
You know, first
pitch. You've been waiting. He's your best player. He's a Braves legend. You're wondering how he's going to bounce back. He gets his first pitch of the season, and he goes yard. I mean, it was wild to see that happen. It was a great moment. But listen, I couldn't agree more. You are who you are. I mean, they're an ordinary baseball team. Everything about them is ordinary. You know, they have certain areas where, you know, they've had starting pitching excel for a 10-day stretch, and they've had the bullpen be solid, except for their closer. And they, a couple of guys have got hot, but they're just...
We've got a real problem with our closer when you have to tell him, don't throw that pitch. Your slider stinks, don't throw that. And they're not making any changes. That is a real, real problem because nobody's intimidated standing there at the plate when Raisel Iglesias is up. And then you waste an 11-strikeout day yesterday from Schwellenbach with a loss, an error. It's sloppy and it's not Braves baseball. It doesn't feel like this is... You know, this team that holds itself to a higher standards. It's just something's wrong.
Well, maybe you can get things cooking, but the problem is the National League has got a lot of teams that were not good last year. Cubbies are having a great year. The Giants, Dodgers, and Padres right. all battling in the West. They're all got great records. Obviously, the Phillies are the class right now. Them and the Mets in the NL East. So it's forget about the Phillies 8.5. You got to worry about the rest of the league. And the fact is, you got a bunch of teams you'd have to jump over, and you have to get hot.
You have to go on a streak.
You got to go 11-2 or do something. Forget about getting back in the division. Just to, again, that 500 mark. Now you dip two games below as well. A lot to get to. 9-9.
6:45. First pitch tonight. Spencer Strider, Ranger Suarez. At the Braves are in Philly for the next three. Phillies had won 9 straight, you guys. They lost on Sunday. They're 9-1 in their last 10. It's phenomenal. So we'll get more into baseball a little bit later. I'm going to go to college baseball here quickly because certainly both Georgia Tech and Georgia are in. Georgia is the 7th seed. They will host a regional. Georgia Tech, who won the regular season, did not get a regional. They are not one of the top 16 seeds. They will travel to, and I don't know that there's a worst-case scenario, because baseball in Oxford, Mississippi is something special to have to go and play Ole Miss. Stake, they got robbed. It's the first time since 1999 that the regular season ACC champion did not host a regional. And those of you that are hating and saying they didn't play anybody, they played the schedule that they were given. They just happened to not play some of the best because it just falls that way.
In
the ACC. So, I mean, they
And they did win
host.
A game in the tournament. It's not
they
like
sure
they
did. Yep.
They beat
yep.
Cal, I think it is, yep. To get yeah. to the semis.
The SEC has 13 teams in. It's a record. It's phenomenal. The ACC got 9. But Georgia Tech, I feel you. You got robbed. We'll get more into that into the tailgate. Your NBA playoffs, Oklahoma City, Minnesota last night, 128-126. SGA goes off, 40, 10 rebounds, and 9 assists. And they're up 3-1 in that series.
Yeah, OKC will be in the finals unless something crazy happens. T-Wolves. Don't look like they're going to win 3 straight. We'll talk about Anthony Edwards a little bit later on. He struggles again last night at home.
Knicks at Pacers tonight at 8 o'clock. Want to take a guess at the line?
Oh, I would say, gosh, Pacers by 2?
2.5. Good call. Caitlin Clark going to miss a couple of weeks. She has a quad injury. We'll keep you updated on that. And we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Atlanta United. 4-2 winners. Woohoo! 8-game winless sleep streak is snapped. They will play tomorrow night, you guys. Orlando City's in town. If you want to go down, MBS at 7:30. Our pregame coverage will begin promptly at 7 o'clock. We are your home of the Five Stripes.
When we come back, I'm going to take you back in time to one of the pettiest moments in Atlanta sports history, a brand new podcast that every single Atlanta football fan will want to pay attention to, especially as it relates to this incredible story. You got to stick around and give me 5 minutes. We'll tell you about it. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, it's 9:23 on a Tuesday morning. I hope Memorial Day weekend was everything you hoped it would be. Weather was funky. You had moments of really great weather and chill. And then you had these storms come through at times and rain. And last night, my poor Rocco, our rot, when those storms get going, he starts shaking. Have you ever seen that with doggies?
All the time.
Shaking.
Cats, they have these instincts. They know what's coming. They feel it.
He just jumps right in the middle of myself and Kimberly and snuggles right in the middle, almost wants to go under the covers. I mean, this is a big old tough doggie. But when those storms start hitting, man, and they sit next to me. Actually, it was a good way to fall back asleep at 2 a.m. because he's shaking. It, like, shakes me to bed. It's like a calming. It's like my own form of meditation. But he is freaking out. Anyway, it doesn't look like a great week early on, but we shall see.
I'll take the cooler weather before it gets to be 107,
right? You staying in town?
No, I'm going to Panama City tomorrow afternoon as soon as the show's up. And
but you're staying in town?
Yes, tonight.
So you will not be home for a while back at the lake.
Right.
Correct?
Right. Oh, my gosh, y'all. It's raining all this week through until Saturday. It's going to be beautiful.
Damn.
So there you go.
So
for that big news. Also, I'm curious before we start this real quick, if anybody watched the American Music Awards last night Stakes answer was, I didn't know it was on, so that ought to tell you how it's going to do. Remember when that used to be the biggest
event? The AMAs.
Oh, my God. It was the AMA. It was Dick Clark. It was such a big deal. J-Lo was the host and opened it. And if any of you saw it, I just want to hear from y'all, maybe on Twitter, at SportsSandra, because I'm curious as to what your reaction
what
is.
What was your reaction?
She, I wish she would change it up. It's the same outfit. It's the same sexy dancing. She decided to make out with both girls and guys. Oh. And she did a dance tribute.
She's going for the shock factor.
And I just,
dance
I don't
tribute
know.
What? To the hits?
She took some of the biggest hits of the year. Not her. She did some of hers. But they're like, yeah, why don't you just dance to this?
Right.
So,
all right.
And it, I think it felt like it was 25 minutes. It felt like it was.
All right.
So there you go. All right.
Well, there's a podcast out that's more than 25 minutes, which is a, listen, everybody's trying to have their hook, right? And the key in the podcast world is, can we come up with something that is unique enough, entertaining enough to cut through the, what do they say? Cut through the...
crap.
Well, yeah. you know, the thousands of podcasts that
millions.
Are out there.
Millions. There's literally, right? I think, 30 million podcasts.
Cut through the clutter, right?
Clutter,
the clutter that is podcasts. So the Kelce brothers showed that there was something about NFL players while they're playing that are actually have this incredible chemistry as brothers, and they're doing great. Edelman and Gronk, I see a lot of those two, former teammates, big personalities. That seems to be doing great, right?
Mm-hmm.
Family members, ex-teammates, similar positions, TV journalists.
Journalists!
So in Atlanta, a smart idea, you put together three receivers that play together when we were really good, that being Julio Jones, Roddy White, and Harry Douglas. Harry Douglas crushing it on ESPN. Julio, absolutely barely ever hear from him. And then Roddy White, one of the more loquacious personalities that I've been around, big friend of the show for years, buddy of ours. Thanks to Brian Finneran, spent a lot of time with him on a personal level, so he's super entertaining as well. And they come up with this podcast.
Legacy Locker Room is the name of it, and it actually officially drops today.
Okay.
Available today.
So somebody has put out, in order to hype it out, what they thought was some interesting moments. And boy, does it get interesting when you talk about Kyle Shanahan, right? So the Shanahan history with Roddy White is well documented.
Mm-hmm.
We were on the air at the time, sitting right next to each other, Sandra and myself. We were friends with Roddy White at the time. And Kyle Shanahan, for whatever reason, did not enjoy Roddy White. Maybe he felt like later in his career his numbers were down, which they were. Maybe he felt like he wasn't working hard enough. He wasn't a Shanahan guy. But he absolutely ostracized Roddy White. He's also one of the most talented offensive coordinators the NFL has ever seen. So you want to just get to the which cut?
Yeah,
you get to?
It's two in a row. So they ask him what led to you, you know, leaving Atlanta, your career being done.
When we first sat down with Kyle Shanahan, right? It was like he was like, "All right, this is how I envision the offense." Blah blah blah. We would literally go through practice scripts, and I would get the ball at practice, right? And then when we go in the games, like he would sub me out. Like he would be in the headphones.
You can hear Matt. You know, we've seen right now, we can hear him.
Yeah, we can hear him.
Oh, sweet.
And
right. Oh, doing it on purpose.
Yeah, so I can hear him say, get Roddy out.
Okay. And he continues. You want to hear the other one already? Here we go.
You got to be real with me, man. Because I'm about to lose my shit. He was like, I just don't see you as like the top four option on the team.
Oh, Lord.
I said, what? He was like, yeah. He was like, yeah, if the game was on the line, I would throw the ball to who? I would throw the ball to Jacob Tammy. I would throw the ball to Leonard Hankinson.
He ain't say that to your face.
This is what he told me. And then he said, and then I'll run a play for free to throw the ball to free. And then you.
He told you that?
He told me that.
Wowza.
Jacob Tammy had 250 catches in his career. He played for three different teams, including the Falcons, so not a horrendous career. Leonard Hankerson, I'm going to look up his numbers in a second, but to even compare those two guys to Roddy White, one of the great Falcons of all time, wow. You talk about a personal grudge against that guy. And I guess it can happen in the office with your sales manager. Can happen on the, you know, at a restaurant when, you know, Bo will tell you, being a manager, you're giving out shifts, what the best shifts are. Like pettiness, personal grudges, all that thing plays out in the workplace. And boy, did it play out in a very visible manner with the way that Roddy White was treated by Kyle Shanahan.
So I went to the year 2015, because if you guys will remember, when Roddy wasn't targeted the week before the Colts game, in the media, we were like just crashing on Kyle. What are they doing? Why isn't Roddy White getting the ball? So the very next week, they played the Colts. It was November the 22nd. They opened the game offensively with three straight targets to Roddy White, even if he wasn't open, if you guys can remember that. So for the entire season, I'm going to take Julio's numbers out because it's like he was targeted 204 times, as he should have been. But the next most targeted player stake was Jacob Tammy at for 82 targets. Then Devontae, 97 targets. And Roddy was fourth. He was fourth because Leonard Hankerson only played 8 games. He was targeted 45 times. So what Roddy was telling you goes to the truth of 2015 of that season. They were targeted more than Roddy.
Yeah. Well, listen, I love Roddy, so I would obviously take his side. And I know Kyle Shanahan is a very petulant individual. However, Roddy White went from seasons, he was over 1,000 yards. In 2007, 1,200 yards. In 2008, 1,380. In 2009, 1,100. 2010, 1,400. 2011, 1,300. And 2012, almost 1,400 yards. Unbelievable numbers for Roddy White. However, 2013, 60 catches. 2014, 80 catches. And 2015, 40 catches. Never played again after that. Clearly, his numbers are going down. He had 600 less yards in 13 than he did in 12. Kyle Shanahan got rid of Roddy White and had the greatest offensive season in Atlanta Falcons history. That's what 2016 was. Mm-hmm. They were the number one offense. Their quarterback was the MVP of the league, and they damn near should have won the Super Bowl. So you can't really deny that Kyle Shanahan didn't know what he was. You can't say he didn't know what he was doing, right?
And by the way, he was hired in 2015. So he was hired in January of 2015. So those 2015 numbers were Roddy's first year. And then 2016 was the greatest year ever offensively.
Yeah, the greatest Falcon season of all time until it wasn't. And Kyle Shanahan was the point person behind that and felt like he had other options other than Roddy White. Hard to argue with 2016. Now, you can argue with the Super Bowl. You can argue with the play calling. You can argue with the fact that you just needed to run the ball 3 times, kick a field goal, and get your first world championship. But you can't argue with the fact that Kyle Shanahan doesn't know what he's doing, because he does. And he ostracized one of the great Falcons of all time. And he has his reasons. And he believed that Jacob Tammy, it was a better option than Roddy, which is unbelievable. What bothered me the most about that is I've always looked at guys that are head coaches or coordinators and figured, like, they're just going to do what's best for this organization. Their only job is to call plays that will be successful using whatever talent they have around them. And when you begin a game in a playoff season and just say, I don't care, I'm going to stick it to the media, because he heard the sports talk guys, he heard the writers, he was asked questions about it, and he goes, F you, Here's Roddy on a 2-yard curl, incomplete, here he is on a bubble screen, 1-yard gain, and here he is on a sideline throw, didn't catch that, we're out, fourth.
And I think two of those three plays, he was double covered, so they threw it anyway. It was a big F you to all of us, Stake.
Yeah, I would like to think that Matt would just kind of check out of that play. But why do you have a guy that's ego is so friggin' fragile? Like, shouldn't you be better than that? Your dad was a head coach for how many years? You grew up in a football family. Why are you worried about that? And think about Roddy being told that Hankerson, Tammy, and anybody else is a better option than you. And that was, man, egos. And anywhere it can play out.
It is true.
So I'm looking forward to the podcast, but wow. I mean, it takes me back to you and I on the air thinking, and I was at the game, because we talked all week about Roddy.
Mm-hmm.
All week. And then they go to him, 1, 2, 3, up, 4th and 6. So there you guys go. I proved it to you. He's no good. Like, What a jackass. What a absolute, you know, petulant way to handle your business. And guys over there, maybe you get what's coming to you is San Fran going probably in the wrong direction after having a chance to win a Super Bowl. When we come back, real simple, Greg Sankey has spoken from the SEC, and he has laid down the gauntlet. He's put the NCAA on blast. Wait till you hear what the commission of the SEC has to say. And can Georgia baseball make a run to Omaha? Omaha! Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Night 40 on a Sports Radio 92.9 Tuesday morning. You know, just a late spring day in Atlanta. Steak and Sandra, thanks so much to all the listeners. As the number one sports talk radio station, I think maybe the number one show. The biggest numbers in sports radio history, especially when compared to another station trying to be in that realm. Never seen. This is like, it almost feels like, I don't know. When you think of a blowout, I got the all-time blowout. When I say to you that game wasn't even close, what a blowout that was. What game do you think? It was one jump to mind.
Georgia TCU.
Me and you are on the same page.
As usual.
The greatest blowout, the worst, the most uncompetitive championship of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And I would include awful Super Bowls where, you know, there were 30, 40-point wins. There was nothing as humiliating as what Georgia did to get their second national title to TCU, which is even more humiliating that they lost, Michigan lost to that team. And by the way, if you remember, TCU goes and loses, they could have lost by 60 or 70. They could have given up 80 points in that game. They'd start their next year as the runner-up to the national title, and they play a Colorado team in Deion Sanders, but that was like a 30-point underdog or 20-something points, and Deion wins that game in Texas. Well, that's the lead that we have over the second-place sports station in town. Just if you were wondering, because people do care about ratings and numbers, whatever. I mean, I'm just giving you numbers. Like, my job is here to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you when I have a really lousy signal like we had for a lot of our career at two different stations, and then you get 100,000 watt. And we always said, if you give us a signal, you give us some big stick energy, we're going to run with it. And that's what's happened here. Total domination.
Domination!
So at least know that you're listening to the number one station by the biggest margin in the history of the format. So sorry if you're on the other side of that. That's just a reality. Speaking of being on the other side of it, we're going to get some SEC conversation going in about 3 minutes. Greg Sankey has already spoken at the SEC meetings. And boy, has there been a reaction. So be ready for a conversation about that coming up. And if you're an SEC fan, or better yet, if you're a Big Ten or Big 12 or somebody other than the SEC fan, you're going to want to listen up and have your own rebuttal to Greg Sankey. And that's coming up as well. Coming up at the 10 o'clock hour, a fascinating Knicks-Pacers series goes to game four. How do you bet it? That's what you want to know. How do you bet game four? And we'll also talk about Anthony Edwards not having a shining moment necessarily for the T-Wolves, although their bench stepped up last night huge, but they couldn't get the W. We got that going on. And the Braves and Phillies in Philadelphia, the place that made headlines, Brian Snicker made headlines on our radio program 2 years ago when he said, I'll never let my family go to a game again in Philadelphia. That not only are they unruly, not only does security do very little to protect the Snickers, which I think was his kids and his wife, but he says that the organization themselves, the Phillies, dropped the ball in terms of protecting other teams' family members and said he'll never be there again. That made headlines all over Philadelphia. Guys screaming and yelling, you should know better if you're coming in rooting for the Braves, whatever. So all the vitriol we have for the Phillies, and I have so much for Philly fans, the worst fans in sports, the meanest, the most unruly, the least respectable group. All that is true, but needing a dub for Spencer Strider, who Sandra, I don't know if we were on the air together after that first start. I think it was Drew, where he literally sounded like a guy that needed to go see a sports psychologist. I mean, he beat himself up like he had just lost game 7 of the World Series.
Yeah, he's very dramatic. He goes low. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's very dramatic.
That's a good way to put it. He gets, if I can't do this, mm-hmm. I shouldn't even be out here.
Right.
Like, bro.
My paycheck all season long.
And then he starts talking about Bryce Elder. In fact, we had to send a guy down for me, and I don't even know that I deserve to be out there. I mean, whoa. Like, take a deep breath, dude. Like, I don't believe that kind of talk, you know, had read enough about it. That kind of talk is, I understand that's how, listen, every guy motivates himself differently. But to beat yourself up to the level that Spencer Strider did in that last start.
Chris Sale does the same thing, but I wonder, Steak, if it's some sort of a mode you get into, just everybody, I'll take the loss on me. So when you speak to the media, you just kind of get it out of your system. All right, it's on me. I didn't earn my paycheck. Chris Sale did the same thing.
Yeah, no, Chris Sale's been, he's notorious. And by the way, he did that in Boston for years.
I was wondering
about
that.
Because he was injured a lot.
Yeah.
He comes all the way back, and I don't know if you remember this. It was a comebacker that, like, broke his finger on his first start back, and then he's like, I've been here with a contract for years, and I haven't earned any of this contract. Like, I this was a huge moment, and I have just failed the city, and I failed the fans, and I mean, it's like, oh, my God. Like, you know, so much so they traded him, one of the worst trades right. of all time from the Red Sox side. But, like, I hear that from Strider. I don't know if I've ever heard it more. Like, just go out there and be Spencer Strider tonight. It's going to be a fascinating start.
Well, when your body fails you because he's young and great, but when you get hurt I think you guys and all of us can relate, like when you're coming back from injury and you don't perform right away of like, well, wait a minute, I thought I'd be doing better than I am. It really gets in your head.
It's one start. I mean,
I know.
It's
he's
going like
to be great tonight.
Starts. You think?
I do.
I think tonight.
What I didn't like is that the Braves weren't playing on Memorial Day. Didn't that seem
strange.
So weird?
There were some teams
Six
off.
Six teams were off. So yeah. three they did play, I think, 12 games.
Yeah.
But that was.
So 6 teams were off Memorial Day. I was very surprised that's not on the schedule. Whatever it was. You know, listen, the Braves head to Philadelphia. And it was not a good homestand against the Padres, not a good 3-game stretch. The game he lost, Strider, was the rubber match of the National Series, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
He pitched on Tuesday, was it? Or Wednesday? I don't know what it was. We lost 2 out of 3 to the Nationals. No. We lost 2 out of 2 to the Nationals. We had a rainout in between.
That's right.
Right? Because otherwise he was going to pitch Sunday, and I was excited, but the rainout means that they had to push him back, and they pushed him back a lot, so he's a 6-day rest, and he'll go against the Phillies, who are playing Philly-like baseball. By the way, if you're a betting man, the other day the A's had lost 10 in a row. The Phillies had won 9 in a row. What do you think the Vegas number was? And, of course, the A's go out and beat the Phillies
in that game.
Yeah.
Do they do it by runs, or they just, like, win?
No, you're minus 240 if you bet the Phillies. Like, as big a number as there is. Mm-hmm. One team lost 10 in a row. One team won 9 in a row. And, of course, the A's won that game. So, otherwise, the Phillies would be coming in here with a massive winning streak. But they're playing great baseball as well. All right, let's turn our attention to college.
It's likely a slow Tuesday at your place of business, or if you're enjoying a nice cup of coffee right now, go find, you can go on dognation.com. They've posted the entire 18 minutes of Greg Sankey. Get your popcorn ready. Last night was the first night of the spring meetings. They're down there in Destin. All the coaches, all the athletic directors, and Mr. Sankey. And boy, howdy, Steak. He's like, here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the schedule. We're going to talk about those 9 games. We're going to talk about playoffs. We're going to talk about money. All of it. And he was like, it's go time.
Look at a track record. We didn't need 12. Did we say to 4, we would have had half the 4 last year. I don't need lectures from others about good of the game. I don't lecture others about good of the game. And coordinating press releases about good of the game. Okay, you can issue your press statement, but I'm actually looking for ideas to move us forward.
So that was a direct hit, ACC, Big 12, the NCAA, when they put out, you know, they're trying to take up for their little 2. I thought you and Rusty did such a good job kind of dumbing it down for silly people like me. Just tell me how it's going to work. The 4-4-2-2-1 model is a perfect way to put it. And you and Rusty talked about that. So if you're trying to get more than 4 in, then you also can have an at-large. So
yeah, there's 3 at-larges. The 4-4-2-2-1. Yes, 13 teams, mm-hmm. and there's 3 at large. The SEC get 5 teams in. Is that the only card you're playing from Sankey?
Yeah.
Because the one that jumps out at me that's making headlines as well is he says it's clear that not losing becomes in many ways more important than beating the University of Georgia. Two of our teams were left out actually did that. He's referring to Ole Miss and Alabama, and he's saying not losing is more important than actually beating Georgia. And he's looking at beating Georgia as the ultimate apex, right? Sure. Like, if you beat Georgia and you're in the SEC, you're in, right?
Right.
And that's basically saying if you don't play Georgia, I guess that's more important. That way you don't lose to them, and you're rewarding people. He's saying strength of schedule doesn't matter. Well, Greg Sankey is doing right by the SEC. But his level of pomposity, it really gets old. And the way he talks down to everybody else in college football, okay? You didn't create those programs. You're not the one who pumped all that money into them. Your TV deal isn't even as big as the Big Ten. So let's just go back for a second to why Alabama was out of the tournament, right? They had three regular season losses, okay? They lost to Vanderbilt and Oklahoma. Those teams were 3-11 in the SEC. Okay? I mean, Alabama fans, go beat Oklahoma in the final week, and you're in the tournament. You want to turn to Ole Miss for a second and talk about who we should be mad at? Be mad at Lane Kiffin. I know you had a great W, right? Kentucky had one SEC win on the year. It happened against Ole Miss, if I'm not mistaken. Okay? So, like, you are rewarded for beating Georgia. You are rewarded for strength of schedule. If you look at who was in and who was out, they were also ranked ahead of Miami, who wasn't in. Why? Because of strength of schedule. But let's not just gloss over the fact you may have beat Georgia, but you still got to win some other games along the way that you're supposed to win.
You lost to Florida, you lost to LSU in the overtime, and you lost to Kentucky.
Thank
the
you.
Two Alabama losses, I don't think anybody on that committee eating their chicken fried steak could say Alabama should be in after losing to Vanderbilt and Oklahoma. But more importantly, Oklahoma, and I don't have the score in front of me, but you want to talk about a beatdown? That was a beatdown,
yep,
and it
right.
happened late.
Yep.
And you can tell me what you want, but teams are supposed to get better as the year goes on. That doesn't help your cause when you lose at Oklahoma and you get beat that bad.
Yeah, I mean, and the Kentucky loss was late, and I understand it's a gauntlet in the SEC, but you had three losses, okay? So just take care of your business against an Oklahoma team. You talk about beatdowns. That's the way to describe Oklahoma's season. Mm-hmm. They were beat down all year long by everybody.
Right.
And then they go out in one of the worst days for Jalen Milroe and everybody else and just beat up on Bama. So stop it, Greg Sankey. Stop lecturing everybody. Stop saying strength and schedule doesn't matter. It absolutely matters. It's why you were ahead of Boise State. You were ahead of Arizona State. You were ahead of Indiana. All those guys were behind SEC teams.
And while I do agree with him, and SMU, it turned out they had no business being in there. But unless you're just going to have an SEC tournament by yourself, then you have to be quiet.
Okay.
Because this is the way we're going to
play. And they're fixing that part of those early round awful games. They're fixing them because now it'll be a 12-team where the top four teams are just whoever they are. You don't win. You don't get in for winning the conference. So Arizona State would not get a bye. Boise State would not get a bye. Indiana would probably be at home hosting someone like SMU or something along those lines, right?
Yeah.
And you don't get that awful first week games, which happened, right? So they'll take care of that. And the SEC, once they flip to 16, has a chance to get five teams in the playoffs. It's going to be fascinating to see. It's just the way Greg Sankey presents. It's just... I don't know. You don't have to be that.
He's got big conference energy in throughout college football right now. So, I mean,
the
get
Big
it.
Ten and the SEC own.
And they're about to go to nine SEC.
And
they're
the
going to get $80 million.
I mean, how
do
you feel a Florida State fan who carried college football for all those years? Now, granted, that was a long time ago, but the ACC being told you're going to get two teams in automatic and then everything else is wide open.
Well, hopefully you're that great that you are ahead of those SEC three loss teams and there won't be an argument because if Clemson, Florida State, Miami, a Virginia Tech, a North Carolina
Georgia
will come
Tech.
Back. Georgia Tech is who I should have mentioned earlier,
Georgia
my bad.
Tech. Yeah.
So, okay, you kind of deserve what you're getting right now because you stink. And whatever you're doing over there in Greensboro, North Carolina, at that office, watch what Greg Sankey and his big conference energy is doing because the fact that you fell millions and millions and millions of dollars behind is inexcusable.
Well, it's a bad TV, and it's bad TV deal, right? Is that what you're talking about? What are you just talking about?
All you got to do is win games, and then the TV deal takes care of itself. Whoever was in charge God bless you.
And
they
Miami, have got,
they start winning, and you watch what happens.
Miami lost to Syracuse, right? Wasn't the Syracuse loss?
The ACC was embarrassing, starting with my Seminoles. Embarrassing. Inexcusable behavior and win-loss. It's just awful. You can't come from a perfect season and have two wins. It's inexcusable.
All right. I mean, the ACC has a lot of ground to cover after the embarrassment, no question, from last year.
All right. Greatest show on dirt, as they call the NCAA regional baseball tournaments. Georgia, congratulations. You are a 7 seed. You will host. You will play on Friday at noon, I do believe. You will play Binghamton at noon. That is on the SEC Network. The Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, the winner of the regular ACC season. You were the number 1 seed in the ACC tournament. You were 1-1. You end up losing a regional. You lost a regional. You will travel to Oxford, Mississippi to play Ole Miss in that stadium. That's one of the toughest places to play in the country. Holy smokes. Georgia Tech will play Western Kentucky at 4 o'clock. These are double eliminations. What I do like, if Georgia Tech can win that regional and Georgia wins that regional, that game, they'll play each other in the super regional because they're matched
that
together.
Would be sick.
So isn't that kind of cool? Yeah.
Wow.
So there you go.
Hey, also, Georgia softball lose to Florida over the weekend. They are eliminated in terms of going to the – they call it the World Series, same thing, College World Series.
Yeah. College World Series.
Yeah. They get beat by the
it's
Gators.
It's just like Oklahoma and everybody else, right?
Same format and everything, except it's in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
All right, when we come back, top of the hour, fascinating Knicks game tonight I'm going to talk about. Also, Anthony Edwards speaks. And I kind of am ready to tell you about the Braves. And you may not like what I have to say. Sports Radio, 929 The Game. Hey, good morning. 10:05, Sports Radio, 929 The Game. Coming up, things I learned over the weekend. I saw one of those big... one of the big movies that's out right now. I saw it yesterday with B, my son. I'll tell you what that was. I also ate at a pizza place that is averaging 2-hour waits every night. Averaging 2-hour waits. But I'll tell you what it was. I went at noon yesterday when we waited about 15 minutes. And I'll promote
my review. Did they
let
you to the front of the line? Be like,
they don't listen. I don't play.
I don't
that
even
game.
Mean, I'm not trying to be a jerk. If I have a business, I see you and you're going to do those videos. I'm like, here, please step
yeah,
right up.
I mean,
that's just good business model.
Yeah. I waited and they don't always know what my review is going to be. And those of you are like, dude, every one of those reviews, you only give 4.4s, 4.8s, or you never give bad reviews. Well, because if I go somewhere, normally it's a very hyped place. And number two, if it's overhyped and not good, I'm not putting out a video because I'm not out to hurt independent businesses. I'll let the public decide. So, yes, my reviews are way, way, way more positive than they are negative. And if you're doing a lousy job, shame on you. But it'd take a lot for me to actually call you out. So take it for what it is.
I like that.
But there's a difference with a 4.9 and a 4.4 when you're grading on a 5. That's all I'll tell you. Stop annoying me by wondering why they're always positive reviews. I'm out to elevate the food scene. Elevate it. I'm not out to, you know, shut down some dude that had a bad day and tell you never go to his restaurant. And if you watch Portnoy, by the way, listen, we all steal a little bit from a lot of different people. When I did the Food Network stuff, when I do Atlanta Eats, I'm doing part Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and part Portnoy, and part Bourdain. I mean, you're stealing from every, you know, stealing, whatever. It takes a ton for Portnoy to give a bad pizza review. Almost never does unless you come out and call him on MF, which has happened before, or he's at like a ball game and they serve a lousy pizza or whatever. But if it's an independent place where he met the owners, he's not trashing a place, right? 90% of the reviews are just nice enough, right?
And then he just strokes a check, that guy, the guy's getting ready to close. He goes, like, how much do you need to stay in business? Yeah, I need $60,000. And he strokes him a check. Like, he's very sweet a lot of the time. So
yeah,
it's good.
Huh.
So
anyway.
Right. Well, that's good to know. I didn't know you didn't post the ones you don't like. So
I don't.
That's interesting.
Yeah, if you're.
Well, I think that's nice.
If you do a terrible job, I'll bury that video. And you can listen. You can tell the difference.
I think
really
so,
excited.
Too. I know you. I can tell. Right. Hey. The 10 o'clock hour brought to you by Wise Guys. ProWash.com. They're awesome. Pressure washing. Do it. Log on. Get $70 off when you mention me.
I don't know what to do with this Knicks-Pacer game tonight, game number four. This is a fascinating series where the Knicks were left for dead. The Pacers were on a run in game three. I said to everybody, bet the Knicks. Get off the mat. This is not a 4-0 series. Like, the teams are too close. And, you know, things balance themselves out. You know, you lose a couple of games. Certainly that horrible loss in game one, I think it was, when they blew the lead for the Knicks. It was only game one. And then, whatever, they'll get their moment in Indiana. And I'm watching that game going, boy, you're an idiot. And my son was like, never bet against Tyrese Halliburton, never. And I was like, he's the new Reggie Miller. Reggie! I said, dude, what? When did he become? When did
Bobby become such a trash talker? I love the new attitude.
No, he has a big swagger.
He's an NBA Bobby now. I love it.
Yeah, but
good
he's
for
like,
him.
I was like, dude, like, when did you become a Tyrese Halliburton guy? Please. Don't bet against TH. Never. So we're at the game. We're at the game the other night. We're at the Braves game. And he's talking. I go, I think that we're ready to make an investment in the Pacers-Knicks series, and I think we want to take the Knicks. And he wants to be the contrarian. I was like, the new Reggie! The new Reggie! So I'm watching that game, and he keeps popping in, just talking smack. I was like, all right, I get it. Pacers are way better than we thought, right? Aaron Naismith and Miles Turner and that little white boy guard that just goes off, and obviously Pascal Siakam and Siakam! And then the Knicks, God bless Carl Anthony Towns, banging those threes. The Knicks were dead, and now it's 2-1, and I don't know what to do with that game tonight. I want to say the Knicks tie it up, but then I don't think they're going to lose three in a row at home, and I also don't think they're going to go 3-2. If I had to, I'd say the Pacers. Deeper team. Knicks found their bench a little bit, but the Pacers come at you, man. And that's a toss-em. Game. The spread's 2.5, right?
Right.
Knicks are underdogs. Anthony Edwards, not
in
a good
Indy,
night last.
Says, yeah.
What's that?
It's in Indy.
Yeah, it's in Indy, so 2.5-point favorite. Minnesota getting ready to get eliminated. They're down 3-1. Anthony Edwards, I think he had 15 last night. Now, again, a lot of other guys stepped up, so I think it's – you just can't trash a guy every time when the reality is
– 16.
Yeah, he had 16. But the reality is they scored 126. So do you want him to take every shot or do you want him to be smart enough? They didn't need more offense from him last night. What they needed was to take advantage of the fact that this kid, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, had 23 off the bench. Dante DiVincenzo had 21 off the bench, right? Jaden McDaniels had 22. Like, you normally win games when you score 126 at home. They asked Anthony Edwards, what happened to you? He's had a couple of games in the playoffs. Last night, he only has 5 field goals total.
Just can't play with the ball around him. Like, everybody on the team is handsy. Yeah, just can't play with it. Like Coach said, got to pick one way and go. And then once they show you the heavy gap, get off of it.
Yeah, they're going to throw doubles at him and let somebody else beat him. And last night, those guys were ready to beat him, but OKC's got, you know, they got the guy. They got the MVP of the league. SGA goes for 40 last night.
10 rebounds, 9 assists as well. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. So he was 13 for 30 from the floor. Anthony Edwards, Georgia product, says, I didn't struggle.
I don't look at it like I struggled or he struggled. They had a good game plan, making us get off the ball. Especially for me, man, it was super in the gaps. I made the right play all night, so I don't really look at it like I struggled. I didn't get enough shots.
I mean, he didn't get enough shots again.
His whole body language after the game, he was very upbeat.
Well, what I would say, Sandra, is it's such an easy, lazy narrative to say you're never going to win, right? You're never going to win if Anthony Edwards has 16 points. You scored 126. He didn't force shots. He was 5 for 13, and those other guys step up. So stop saying that. That's not – if Anthony Edwards goes for 37, but he's 13 of 31 from the floor, like, no, they had plenty of offense. It wasn't that. And I'm glad a guy didn't just absolutely shoot himself out of the game. Here is their head coach, Chris Finch, saying that was not the formula.
This isn't the formula to get it done, you know, and I think that's the most important thing to take away from tonight.
Oh, there you go. Meaning you can't get down that big to Oklahoma City.
Are you okay with an Oklahoma City Pacers NBA final?
I mean,
I'm not asking the networks. They are not. They are definitely
I'm okay with it. Indiana's a great story. Oklahoma City have a tough time. I gotta
So hate watching the Knicks tonight.
Are you?
I absolutely hope it's just they put a nail in the coffin.
I think that the Pacers are just the better team. They just have way too much depth. They're at home again. I think you may be right about rooting against the Knicks tonight.
I do like that when you talk to Bobby about betting, you call it an investment. Well, don't think I didn't notice that little nugget. We have to make an investment tonight in the game.
And the Knicks, I try not to let him know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
He's like, Daddy, everybody at my school bets. I was like, well, that's not a good thing, right? But, I mean, with these apps and the way it is like now, especially in high school, like, you know, I don't know about, like, everybody has, he was in middle school, but, like, it's a problem in high school. Like, I'm not going to deny it is a problem, the amount of boys that are gambling on sports.
I think it's a bigger issue than high school. I think it's a junior high, younger, from what I'm hearing middle from school, my friends. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, like, it's way too much access. It's like everything else. They have access to all kinds of stuff that we used to have to search out, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you had to find a bookie in the neighborhood. That takes a lot of work.
That is extra
used
work.
To be pornography. You had to really, like, steal your dad's Mac. Like, now it's everything's at your fingertips. Hey, now. Braves and Phillies tonight. His second start back from the injured list. I don't know. I was there Sunday, and I'm watching the Braves, and I'm kind of like, why are you super surprised that we're sitting where we are right now? And me and you talked before the show. Like, you got to sometimes just say we are who we are. We're how many games into the season now? North of 50. So we're a third of the way through.
You're 52. You're literally Memorial Day, which is the silent rule of baseball. Don't look at the standings to Memorial Day. Well, we're looking. We're 8.5 back of Philadelphia. Philadelphia is a much better baseball team than the Atlanta Braves. Now, we've now got Strider and Acuna back. Okay. Orlando Arcia, I think he's signing with the Rockies if that didn't happen overnight.
Listen, Acuna had a phenomenal weekend. You still lost 2 out of 3. Alex Verdugo is on his fourth team in 4 years. For a reason, okay? Nick Allen is a great defensive player that you can hide at the bottom of the order if other guys are hitting. I saw some awful Michael Harris at bats up close the other night. You know, forget that he's hitting 230. I know there are other numbers that are more important, but I can't trust Michael Harris offensively. And then he's
defensively, though. I don't know that there's many.
They're
better.
Great.
He's so
and so
good.
Is
and Acuna in the field. A couple of while I was watching, just phenomenal plays.
I get
turn it right on that leg. So that's what I was very.
But like, listen, you're starting a rookie at catcher who's mm-hmm. been phenomenal, but you know he's still a rookie, and then you know, you just aren't intimidating. That lineup, you can pitch to that lineup right now. And that's the problem. I mean,
I'm just going to bet on the Braves, the back of the baseball card, like you said. You got 110 to play. I'm going to just bet on the come here with the Braves.
What is Michael Harris really as an offensive weapon? I think you got to ask yourself. And now you have nothing at shortstop. You're not getting enough from center field. Obviously, losing a guy for 80 games, you know, at the start of the season that was supposed to be right in the middle of your offense, you don't recover from that quickly, Jerks and Profar. So, I don't know, man. I think we're just...
And by the way, he's coming back June 30th.
Yeah. Well, you're going to need him, and you got to keep grinding. And winning tonight would be huge.
There's 110 games to play.
Okay.
So, everybody,
but
turn
you're
that third
phone of the
upside
way.
Down. Let's
no, you're
go.
A third of the way through the season.
Okay, I know.
You're a third of the way through. Things I learned when we come back. Steak and Sandra Golden, the 1-2 punch, that Valya, we listened to her buy or sell the other day. I played it for G Money was nice enough to give us a copy. Did I tell you what's going on with that buy or sell with Valya, that she doesn't want the family to hear it? We have a family text. If you'll do nothing but get Bram fired up, we don't need to play that for Bram. And I was like, all you said... I said, buy or sell, you feel bad about sending me to a shrink when I was 12 or 13. Buy or sell. Well, in hindsight, I'd say that perhaps there was someone else who needed it more. And I said, why don't you say who that is, Mom? Well, it was your brother. I sound like Mike Bell doing my mom, but that's okay because Mike Bell doesn't do my mom anymore.
He does a great mom.
She says, I feel badly, but maybe your brother needed it more. So that's the only kind of controversial thing. Otherwise, she was super funny about everything else. And now we're not circulating it to the family because she's worried about his feelings. She thinks it may hurt his feelings. You think it's going to hurt his feelings?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. He's not used to this radio fodder. And
he may not get it.
Yeah.
So don't circulate it to the whole family.
No, I wouldn't. You're going to stir up trouble.
Oh, God. Well, maybe he shouldn't have been such a jerk to me, you know?
Wow.
I'm sorry. Sorry. He picked on me. He bullied me when I was a youngster. Youngster! Anyway, was out at the Battery over the weekend. And
where'd you eat there?
Well, we were lucky enough to be in Bo's fancy situation. But where did I go? Oh, I went to Buckhead Butcher Shop earlier in the day, worked out in the morning, and then I made burgers at lunchtime. Man, the family gets so excited when you just cook for them out of the blue. I'm trying to explain to my wife this for years. You know, my love language is, a plate of food that I didn't see coming, right? I come home and there's a Cuban sandwich there that I didn't even think you knew how to make, and you put that there. Wear something skimpy and a Cuban sandwich, and all of a sudden everything in the world is right. So I cooked for the whole family before we went to the Braves game. And then I was there with Bo. Andrew Jones was there that night. Bijan.
Nice.
Bo, what'd you think of Bijan, who was floating around that
He's
game?
Every bit as nice and as humble as an individual as he comes off on any interview or any video that you watch him. I didn't speak to him much. Just got a couple drinks for him. He's drinking a Sprite, by the way. Don't know if he was driving, but, you know.
Yeah,
he's ready for the season, man. He's super nice guy.
I didn't want to bother
vegan,
him.
He's vegan. He doesn't drink. He doesn't do anything.
Really?
He's the cleanest living. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to say, Bob, we're not going to bother him, but that's Bijan. My son was kind of excited to see that. I said, and I had to explain who Andrew Jones was to Bobby because, it's like that's one of the greatest Braves of all time and one of the greatest fielders you'll ever see in Major League history.
Yes, he is.
That's who that is. He was sitting there talking to Bo. So we were very lucky to be in that. Thanks to John Foy, who was nice enough to give me the seats, and we went on Sunday. And listen, there's no better take than Braves. I think you're going to see a lot of Sox fans coming up this weekend as well. Boston over the weekend is a bonanza, would you not think, Bo, of cash?
Yeah, well, if you remember, back in the day when they scheduled Boston and the Braves on purpose on rivalry weekend.
Yes.
It was the closest thing we had since the Braves came from Boston, but those were some great games. Like, the Red Sox fans would always come out for Braves-Red Sox on those weekends. So.
Yeah, I'll still tell you, Braves fans, the best take is to go up and spend a weekend in Boston like you could have last week. And because it used to be after they won those World Series, like you couldn't get tickets at Fenway.
Right.
You had to go.
Mm-hmm.
You can get up there and get any seat you want. No problem. Red Sox are not good this year. Remember all that? Bregman's already down. All that hype around Boston. And it's just not happening for them at all, despite all the offseason moves. So they'll come in this weekend laboring a little bit. Braves have a huge stretch right now. Phillies, Red Sox, Diamondbacks. Finally get a crack at our Phillies.
Finally.
This is a big must-see TV game tonight, don't you think? This is a big sports night.
This three games with Phillies, it's as big as it gets on, the end of May.
If what, though? If we lose all three, it's a disaster.
You lose all three, you're 11 and a half games out of first
by
June the 1st.
I just don't think you can think about the division until we start getting, four or five games over 500. I said don't even look at the division. Don't even think about the playoffs till you get over 500. I don't think you even think about the division until you start to have a real good record. But what do you want? What do you need to see? Just two out of three,
just
right?
Start taking series, please. You should have taken the series with the Padres. That was a joke.
What?
Really?
What do you mean
it
was a joke, though? What? Just
you didn't win all three. First of all, Grant Holmes has been your most. He's bounding down. Is coming on strong. He 7-1 win. You were winning both of those games. Friday.
I'm sick and tired of carrying all the weight.
So true,
dude. The it's
irritating.
The Ronald Acuna,
ugh.
First pitch, first at bat, Friday night, 7:20 or whatever that was. That was ridiculous. And then later in the game, the play in right field.
Oh, my God.
I forget who he threw out at second base in the Padres. Mm-hmm. I wasn't paying that much attention.
A dart to second base.
Dude, that was sick.
And might I add, his interview with Wiley Ballard, and he speaks in English. You know how hard that is for him, and at least he's trying. I just feel like, and what Alex told us the other day about him being the shyest guy in there, that is spot on.
Then he hits the home run Saturday in the blowout, finally. And I go to the game Sunday, said, just get this game. Make it 2 out of 3, right?
That was the interview, I believe, Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. Right? And
2 of 3 up in Philly.
But Padres hadn't hit worth a lick, right? So you knew they were going to eventually start hitting, and that's exactly what happened. And unfortunately, we were on the wrong end of it. So a big series. All right, let's do things. Alert! Well, we learned that the movies are back and better than ever this weekend.
Okay, so Steak and I talked about this last Thursday, and I was hinting. I go, don't underestimate this Lilo and Stitch. Mission Impossible killed it. $77 million. In its opening weekend, that's a franchise high for him. But Disney and Lilo and Stitch said, hold my beer, Steak. $183 million 3-day weekend. It is sick. Broke all the records for those two, but it wasn't even close. The Mission Impossible did $77 million, and Lilo and Stitch did $183 million.
Well, I did go to the movies yesterday as well on one of our favorite places, the Cinema Tap House in Sandy Springs, where they do such a fabulous job, locally owned theater. Of course, I interrogated the poor ticket guy. I'm walking in, and I'm like, bro, how crowded? They said beyond packed. Mm-hmm. But I didn't see either one of those. I saw this. Sinners.
Something I've been wanting to tell you.
The Michael B. Jordan vehicle. Sinners has already done $339 million worldwide. This is a fascinating, interesting, really, really cool movie. My son friggin' loved it. It's a vampire movie, which no one even really knows.
I know nothing about it.
Yeah, I didn't know one thing. I didn't want to. I just heard people go, this is a great film.
And was it?
Yeah, it's a really, really well-done piece of filmmaking. And the music is phenomenal and interesting.
Is it scary?
Yeah, it's scary. Yeah, Bobby was scared, which is good. It's scary. It's fun. It's super interesting. And Michael B. Jordan, he's such a movie star.
God, he's such looking. A friggin'. My God.
Oh, my God. Are you in? Like, I had to hear my mom and my wife go on and on about John Hamm as well. We're watching that show. I was like, Sandra won't stop talking about him either. Like, enough of that. A couple of other things we learned. Unfortunately, Billy Joel's got an issue. Rather serious medical condition.
Brain disorder. They caught whatever it is. They haven't been very specific. Everybody's sending out love on Twitter yesterday, but he canceled the remaining concerts.
Well, he's got the title of it is Brain Disorder Diagnosis that he may be able to recover. Mm-hmm. It plays itself out to look like dementia, but there actually may be a cure in this case for it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's... hydrocephalus is what it's called. It's when fluid builds up inside and around the brain, disrupts brain function, affects your memory, your concentration, movement, and more.
Your equilibrium, so you're having trouble like walking. And he's 76. I mean, it's just not.
And he's lived hard, dude.
Yeah.
Finally, you want to wait till after the break to play this? You want to play it now? All right, Bo says after the break. I'm not going to get in trouble with him. He may or may not have served me a couple of tequilas the other day. You know, when your bartender looks at you and goes, okay. You know, I said, bro, I'm not driving. He says, I didn't think you were with 3 kids, right?
You're smart, man.
Those were small shots, all right?
Oh,
intentionally.
Tiny. Yeah.
Tiny. Thank you. My wife's going to be listening. Do you hear what he said? They were tiny. I had maybe a couple.
Good for you.
They have little indentions on the cup that we actually used to measure with. They were well beyond the little indention on the cup. I don't even know if they were even shot. Tastes? Your taste?
You know, it's like swishing around your
mouth
a little
bit? Yeah.
I had a tequila tasting the other day.
It's a steak sip.
Yeah. Very, very light. Hey, when we come back, the best show to stream for any guy right now, not even close. I'm in a fight with my wife almost. Am I right or wrong? And things I learned. Why is there a 2.5-hour wait for a pizza restaurant in Sandy Springs? And did I wait and go? I'll tell you about that. Sports Radio 92.9. Hey, it's 10:40 on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. I feel like we're just getting our mojo, and now the show's over. Like, and I got to go do like real stuff today, like work stuff, and sales calls, and Meeting.
You think a lot of people are still on vacation? Like, this is a big vacation.
Yeah, this was
week.
Not bad.
Yeah, I think so too.
Traffic today. How about you driving
yeah,
in?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad at all.
All right. We got a couple of things. I got to wrap up some of my things I learned stuff because yes. we were talking about other things. Like, then these commercials come up. Not that we don't love our advertisers. Do you want the three strikes questions?
Yes, let me put them out there and we can have people call.
The last restaurant you waited more than 20 minutes to dine at.
Mm-hmm.
20, is 20 a good number to say?
20 is a perfect number.
Okay, 20
yes.
minutes. Going to a Braves game, who do you hope they're playing, right? I like that it's an open-ended question. Could be you grew up with another team, you want to see that. It could be that you want to see a division
good.
Rival.
Mm-hmm.
Could be you want to see Shohei Ohtani. Who leads the league in home runs and is getting ready to pitch soon, it looks like. Going to a Braves game, who do you hope they're playing? And a great show to watch as a couple. Great show to watch as a couple, right?
Okay.
Which I'll bring that up in a second.
404-726-0929, 404-726-0929.
I mean,
10 o'clock hour brought to you by Wise Guys Pro
yeah,
Wash.
We don't have, yeah. I mean, Bo's got is working on cutting a few things up, too. We got a few minutes before we'll start taking calls, but yeah, those are the ones you want to put out there on the Twitter sphere, if you will, right?
I would love a review for Mission Impossible. I don't actually know one person in person that went to see it, so
yeah.
If anybody on
I just love that folks
that
are going back to the movies.
Yeah.
Memorial Day weekend is a massive movie weekend.
Yep.
So, you know, I saw that movie Sinners on Dolby in a big theater, and I'm telling you, like, I just imagine watching that movie on a plane and thinking, like, that would have taken everything away from this. Like, it just was boom. It's something like sitting in a dark room with the sound system booming, right?
Especially that good
yeah,
music.
Yeah, and especially, I've been reading so much about Tom Cruise and him and that director buddy of his and the way they put these movies together, and just to watch the visuals of that, you know? And so that's something as well, to keep in mind. Sports-wise, Greg Sankey speaking more and more at the SEC meetings.
Every single day, y'all. He's speaking every day through Thursday.
He loves to hear himself
Woo!
Talk, and he'll go, you know, he's always seems, like, irritated up there about something. Like, notice, like, the cut we played earlier, he's like, he's almost, like, lecturing us constantly, you know what I mean? It's like, shit, you waving, don't wave a finger at me, Greg Sankey. All right, you want to know about this place I went yesterday and waited? I didn't wait long.
I want to know about that. I want to know about what fight you're in with Kimberly.
Well, it's not like a full-fledged deal, but the pizza place is called Mr. O2 Pizza. Have you heard of it?
Mr. O2, like O, the number
yeah,
02.
Yeah, O2. So I guess O2 is back in the day immigrants
mm-hmm.
could get special dispensation for being in this country. Mr. O1, what the hell's wrong with me? Mr. O1. And O1 means you get a special dispensation because you have a skill that you're bringing from another country. You have a skill you're bringing. Well, the ancestor of this restaurant, O1, their O1 was making pizzas. They were premier pizza makers. So that's why the name Mr. O1. There's a ton of them in Florida. It's a Michelin-rated restaurant in Florida. They opened in Sandy Springs. It's like a 2.5-hour wait.
Where in Sandy Springs is it?
Right next to the theater, arts center, right
in
the
oh, yeah.
It's where the old General Muir was. It closed.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
These waits are insane. I think people would know about it from Florida. And they have these star pizzas that are famous. I just put it online. So we went early yesterday because we were going to see Sinners. So I went and waited like 10, 15 minutes. But it's a very unique experience. Really cool, interesting pizza. It really depends on your flavor profile. Super thin, unbelievably fresh. I don't know that you're ever going to wait 2 hours for anything, but it's become like a thing because they got the playground. Not the playground. They got the open field.
Yeah.
And then there's cocktails at the select, and like you make it a thing. Like I believe the waiting in line. It's not so much the waiting; it's kind of the whole. You know, you get excited for your meal, and like you meet other people, and you're getting drinks, and it's like almost part of the whole thing.
Social, mm-hmm.
Right?
Social hour.
So, Mr. O1, check it out in Sandy Springs, and their star pizzas are the famous ones.
Okay,
you'll know when they're shaped like stars. And they're really tasty.
Oh.
If you see my Instagram, look
no,
at my Instagram. I'll show you a picture, all right?
Yes.
Try to look at my Instagram every so often.
Stake, I don't know how you know how Instagram works, but it's just so random for my life. You don't pop up all the time. Hey, now.
Wow. All right.
So I will go find it.
Yeah, definitely worth a visit, Mr. O1. And they're opening a brand new one in Buckhead right next to Zakia on Lenox Road. You know, across from the tech center
there's
like four restaurants.
Uh-huh.
That's where they're going in. All right. So my wife and I, it's an ongoing thing about, are we watching shows together? If she gets on something and I don't know about it, I was like, why didn't you tell me? More often she walks in the room and I'm watching something. She goes, you're not even going to wait for me? Like The Last of Us we watched together. We watched Shrinking together. We watched Thrones together. We watched Lotus together. So we did a lot.
Friends and Neighbors you're watching together?
No.
Oh.
No, we're not. She didn't care that much. Don't get me started. I didn't do anything wrong. But we were watching Mobland with Pierce Brosnan. Yeah, this, by the way, listen to this theme song.
My husband's favorite chef.
I hear these credits. Helen Mirren, Pierce Brosnan, Tom Hardy, violence beyond violence, like such good violence, so entertaining. Me and her, I get her hooked on it. We're three episodes in. Like, this is a family thing. We brought my mom in on it, right? I come home from the Braves game. They are on episode 8 and finished. They blew off their dinner. They were going out. And they just said, we're sitting on the patio. My mom was knee-deep in her gin. God bless her. Kimberly probably had, God knows, you know. Let's just say the two of them were feeling themselves. They completely blew me off, and they just said, sorry, you're at the game, and we're right?
We're having a girls' day on the
third of the team. I had a little pity party. I gave my wife a lot. I said, oh, really? Thought that was our show. And now they want to start. My mom doesn't know. So we were talking about the final episode.
Oh, no.
And I go, Mom, are you serious? So Mobland, a tremendous watch. With your wife, without your wife. I'd say if your wife doesn't like violence, then don't watch it. But should I have been annoyed that she completely...
I think that's a major couples thing. So if you kind of go against the grain.
Yeah, I came home.
But you also
she
left
used
them
my
with your mom
as the out.
That is kind of an out. So yeah, there you go.
She
gets a pass.
She goes, your mom wanted to watch it.
Right.
I go, really? Your mom didn't want to go to dinner. Really? Maybe you should insert the word I. I didn't want to go to dinner. I wanted to watch. So I'm four episodes behind. Last night I had to go up to the bedroom so they could, because it just came out last night, the next episode,
uh-huh.
The ninth.
Yep.
And they playing it so loud because my mom can't hear anything. Her hearing aid's jacked up. So they're cranking it. I'm in my room like a little child, and I just, you know, I put on the game, and I was like, you tell me when that's over, I can come back to the living room. Right?
Oh, you had a little pout party,
yeah,
too. Pity powder.
So you tell me when I can come back downstairs, because you're playing Mobland. I didn't know the entire neighborhood wanted to hear. What's that theme song? This is my house. Sounded like a club. Play that again if you don't mind, Bo. Like, this is all I can hear, and it's just irritating the daylights out of me, right?
Oh, that's great.
So, anyway.
Big game of the night, John Foy. Thank you so much. It's the Braves in Philadelphia. 6:45, y'all. 6:45. Spencer Strider, Ranger Suarez. Let's do this.
All right. Here's our three strikes questions. The last restaurant you waited more than 20 minutes to dine there. Going to a Braves game. Who do you hope they're playing? And a great show to watch as a couple. Do you have that? My theme song here. This is what I'm hearing last night, which just made things... Even worse.
Wow. Right? That's a good one.
Everything you want. Violence, hot women, just grudges, families, those accents, and Tom Hardy just kicking the crap out of every Harry. What a character. 404-726-0929. Let's fill up the phone lines for Bo here. 404-726-0929. I know you waited. We're going to talk about, you had a whole thing in Avalon all weekend, right?
Oh, yeah. That was great.
You stayed overnight at the hotel.
Yeah, we had a little staycation in Avalon just because everybody leaves Atlanta. Also, we should be mentioning, and I didn't know about this till just a few minutes ago because I'm an idiot. Bo, it's his birthday today.
Wow.
To our wonderful Bo, who helps us big time, and Mac Daddy producer for Andy and Randy, and just part of our big
and
show.
You got,
so happy birthday.
Thanks a lot.
Softball tournament you get to coach. What better way to spend?
Starting one tonight, yeah. Yeah.
So that's what you're doing for your birthday?
It is.
That's great.
Which we'd rather do that than anything, I'm going to guess.
Yeah. I mean, if it's not that, it's sitting at home, I guess.
What do you mean sitting at home? Nobody wants to take you out?
Oh, sure.
Your girlfriend?
Yeah, I got work tomorrow, though, so, right. So we're going to do stuff. We did stuff like Saturday and
What'd
Sunday.
What'd you do?
Saturday had softball, but then we ended up going, what did we do Saturday? Oh, we went out in downtown Norcross, went to a little brewery down there.
Fun.
Night Fox. Oh, well, sorry, guys, I'm butchering it, but, you know.
All right. Happy birthday. There you have it.
404-726-0929.
Did go to the new NFA at Avalon, you guys, the burgers. And speaking of waiting, it was so good. But that line is for real. He is doing a number up there. It's worth the wait. It's delicious. It's fabulous.
Social Fox Brewing and Distillery
yum.
Is where he was in Norcross.
Yum, yum.
And NFA.
That is correct. Great place.
Social Fox. And then you were at the NFA Burger.
Yeah, so it's right next to Antico. And it's just, you know, they have live music on a Friday night to go and sit. And
so the whole
phenomenal.
Thing at Avalon is just the thing, right?
It's perfect. It's eat, right? Live, work, great restaurants, roomies. They've got the theaters, so it was packed. Great.
Right.
It's probably
Day
the best
weekend.
Shopping in Atlanta.
Okay.
Honestly, it's fabulous.
And they have a South City Kitchen in that
South
hotel.
City Kitchen. They have a brand new pool bar and scene at
really?
The Hotel Avalon.
So do they have girlies that go for the weekend for a staycation?
I think it's more of a couples thing because it is very nice. And that, you know, the weddings and bar mitzvahs, what they got going on there.
Okay.
So nice. Highly recommend.
404-726-0929. All right, Chase on Mitchell Street, the last restaurant you waited more than 20 minutes to dine at.
Steak, you got to check this place out. It's in St. Petersburg, Florida. Mazzaro's Italian Market. They've got a deli like none other.
Oh, boy. I'm all over that. I love a good Italian deli. Hey, going to a Braves game, who do you hope they're playing?
I'd like to see them play the Cleveland, I guess, Indians or Guardians now, just because my father-in-law is from there, and we like to go watch whenever they get matched up.
What's a great show to watch as a couple? As a couple.
Great show to watch as a couple. It's hard because my wife is a trash TV gal. I'm talking Bachelor, Bachelorette, the worst of television. But every now and then we stumble into a show that we both love. And it's an oldie but a goodie, The OC. It's a classic.
Oh, yeah, of course. There's a podcast now with the girls from The OC that are now hosting.
Oh, that's
yeah,
great.
Same crew.
That's great.
Hey, Monroe Mike, the last restaurant you waited more than 20 minutes to dine at?
Well, it's not really one you've never heard of, but for me and my wife, it's Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah, they do a great job there. Listen, Waffle House on the given Saturday or Sunday, you're going to be waiting sometimes 15, 20 minutes.
Well, the thing is, at Texas Roadhouse, they've just got those rolls with that cinnamon butter whip. But I figured out a life hack at Texas Roadhouse. If you go in and just go straight to the bar, it doesn't matter what the wait time is at the tables. You can go straight in there and sit down and watch games and drink and eat, and it's great.
That's a chain that has done very, very well, Texas Roadhouse. Hey, you're going to a Braves
Absolutely.
Game.
Absolutely.
Who do you hope they're playing?
Now, are we talking about the Braves this year, or?
Who do you hope the Braves are playing? You're going to a game.
Well, if it's this year, I'm hoping that we're playing one of the Washington Nationals because I just want to see them win. Nothing worse than going to a game and spending $400 or $500 just a total loss home.
Great show to watch as a couple.
Again, this is another oldie but a goodie. The Sopranos. You can't never go wrong with that.
Sopranos is, it just don't be on if I'm walking past the TV because I'm cooked. And there's not an episode I won't sit and watch.
Right.
On episode
the,
I won't
the
watch.
Fact that Mike Johnson had his top five all-time HBO shows and Sopranos wasn't one.
Dude, he said White Lotus Band is in top 25. He said it's not top 25. What's ahead of Soprano? What
Band
was his list? Well, that's a great show.
It's but not better than Sopranos.
Give me, is it? What's top five if it's not Sopranos? What else?
The Wire he has in
yeah,
there.
That's good too, but come on. Sopranos is the greatest
Sopranos
show of all. Number one all time any show
An
ever.
Alternate, he has his Curb. Like, I don't know. Mike must have had a rough weekend.
Mike doesn't. You don't go to Mike.
He was in his garage.
You don't go to Mike for that info. Thanks, Bo. Happy birthday. Back tomorrow. Bye.